Johnny got a toy golf set when he was three, and from that day on, he was hooked. All he wanted to do was golf, golf, golf. He'd be on the links before school, after school. All he ever wanted was to go pro. And then, one day, when he was holding his grandson and thinking about his 12 handicap, Johnny realized it just might not happen for him. But you know what did happen for him? He switched to Geico and saved a bunch of money on car insurance. So that was good, and so was hanging out with his grandson.
Geico presents, yikes, another voicemail from your roommate.
Sup, roomie? Hey, a pipe burst in the basement. It's completely flooded. Anyway, I called for someone to fix it, but in the meantime, I was thinking we could finally have that indoor pool party we've always wanted. I got some cool swan floaty things already going. Could you pick up some chips on your way home? Later.
The Geico Insurance Agency could help keep your personal property protected, like if your roommate isn't the brightest pool float in the flooded basement. Visit geico.com to see how easy it is to switch and save on renter's insurance.
Greetings, my friends. This is the brain of TV's Pinky in the Brain, and you are listening to This Week in Geek with Mike the Birdman Dodd and the rest of the Twig crew. Twigs. Come to think of it, Pinky, I have not used twigs in any of my latest plans for world domination. If this works, then Mike and the crew will rule by my side. Yes!
Hey guys, what's going on? You are listening to The Prototype, only on ThisWeekInGeek.net. I am one of your hosts tonight. I am Mike the Birdman Dodd, but I'm not alone. As we talk about the world of video games, I am joined with my intrepid two co-hosts.
Geico presents, yikes, another voicemail from your roommate.
Sup, roomie? Hey, a pipe burst in the basement. It's completely flooded. Anyway, I called for someone to fix it, but in the meantime, I was thinking we could finally have that indoor pool party we've always wanted. I got some cool swan floaty things already going. Could you pick up some chips on your way home? Later.
The Geico Insurance Agency could help keep your personal property protected, like if your roommate isn't the brightest pool float in the flooded basement. Visit geico.com to see how easy it is to switch and save on renter's insurance.
Joining us from Kitchener, we have...
Alex.
And coming approximately 120 feet away from me,
Mr. Christopher.
The guy who is upstairs, in, down, all around. He's a good guy. So yes, we are talking about video games, the long-awaited prototype, as we've been kind of throwing topics back and forth. We're trying to get this show to happen every 2 to 3 weeks. And I know we've been promising that for like the last month or so. But we finally nailed down what we want to talk about in this show. And that's going to be the report card for the first half of 2019, such as it has been, as we've had a lot of big AAA releases, we've had a lot of big hype surrounding certain games, and well, have these companies delivered on their promises of giving us good digital entertainment for us to consume and spend our hard-earned money on? Some answers may surprise you, some answers may be controversial in some respects, but we are here to deliver it such as it is. And we'll also touch upon the Nintendo Direct that happened towards the end of February and sort of some of the fallout from that and what's going to be happening into the industry leading forward as we are heading into E3 territory over the next couple of months. And that'll be happening, I think, second or third week in June, which it typically does. So I guess 2019 so far, it's been a lot more... exciting than I thought it would be. We saw the release of a game like, say, Kingdom Hearts 3, which nobody thought was ever going to frankly fucking happen, because that title was promised year after year after year, delay after delay after delay, and seeing it frankly on our show at one point, I was like, wow, the game actually exists, and they sent us stuff, so thank you, PDP. And we were just kind of looking at other big releases. We also had Capcom's release of Resident Evil 2, which is the remake, which has been pretty much almost 20 years in the making since the original, and the GameCube remake, which came out in early 2001 or 2, I want to say. We also had the release of the upgraded or the HD version of Onimusha. We had the Hitman Collection, which collects all the Hitmans into one big game, which is frankly utterly fantastic. We also had Tales of Vesperia come out, which was the definitive edition. And is there anything that I'm really kind of missing off here, guys, looking at January?
Looking at January, Ace Combat came out, and it's been a while since we had another Ace Combat game.
Yeah, it's been at least 7 or 8 years.
Travis Strikes Again, the No More Heroes game, which is basically just a bunch of mini games. It came out with, I'm going to say, little fanfare, considering...
I didn't even know that it was out.
Well, it's out. It's like $40, but it comes with a year, like a expansion pass. And it's all like this 2.5D beat-em-up sort of game. It's not really the traditional style. It's almost like, why? Why are you making this? It was that. I think that's the conception like people had. Like, why would I want this? I want a full game. So It was sort of... It was reviewed okay, but I don't think it has legs to like really keep going. I don't even know if the full season's pass will be worth it.
Yeah, I mean, for something like that, I mean, unless you're a huge No More Heroes mark, I really can't see it being worth more. I mean, if the season's pass was like $10-15, maybe, but we know it's got to be more than that.
Yeah, and I mean, there are other titles that were released, but most of the stuff in January were like remastered or maybe ports from other systems. So
yeah, like the big two were Kingdom Hearts 3 and Resident Evil 2. And Resident Evil 2, as I said in my review, is a system seller. If you don't have it on PC, you can definitely get it for Xbox One or PlayStation 4. The PlayStation 4 version plays fantastic. Although that being said, it's interesting to see what the modding community is doing with it. I've seen Mr. X in a thong. I've seen Thomas the Tank Engine. I've seen Shaggy replace your character model.
I'm pretty sure I saw Mr. X replaced with Barney the Dinosaur.
Yep, I've seen ridiculous mods like that. My favorite mod is where it plays DMX's X gonna give it to you whenever he busts through a wall.
That'd be great. That should have been in the game originally.
So, little touches like that. I think Resident Evil 2 was definitely one of the biggest successes for Capcom this year, although not its only success this year, considering people were saying, oh, Capcom's dead, they're not going to do anything else after the debacle that was Street Fighter V, though they did come out swinging with Monster Hunter World towards the end of last year, I think in August, I want to say. And then this month they had Devil May Cry 5, which is reviewed pretty well from what I can see online.
Yeah, and Onimusha, like, people didn't think that was ever going to get a re-release, and I think they're probably testing the waters with that, because they probably want to see if it's one of those things where, hey, maybe we should redo the whole series like we're doing with the Resident Evil stuff, and maybe that could lead to a brand new game.
Yeah, I mean, I think we'll see a remaster of Resident Evil 3 Nemesis inevitably. I really think we'll see that in the next 5 years, if not a little bit sooner.
As far as Omnimusha, though, there's the one game will be hard to do because it stars Jean Reno as Jean Reno. So it depends if they're going to get his likeness and voice and everything for it again.
Mm-hmm.
So other than that, like I still want to check out Onimusha Warlords. We weren't able to get a copy for review at the time, but I'm still keeping my eye on it. I'm like, whenever it goes on sale, one of these days it's going to be $10, and that's when I'm going to play it.
Now, what about Kingdom Hearts 3? Because you were the one who reviewed it for us.
Basically creamed my pants over it. It was that good.
See, I've heard other people saying it's not the conclusion they wanted.
Well, it's never going to be the plot line makes no sense. And I spent 4 hours watching videos trying to explain the plot. And I was like, no, there's no real point in trying to figure it out. I'm pretty sure that the like game writers don't even know what it's about, but that doesn't matter. That's a game. That's one of the few RPGs where it's more about how you feel than how you think.
Mm-hmm.
So, there is a release now called Kingdom Hearts, The Story So Far, which is supposed to be a collection of everything that's happened recently. It just came out on the day of recording here, the 15th of March. It's supposed to be a collection of everything that's happened to give you an idea of what the plot is before you play Kingdom Hearts 3, which is an interesting idea. It's a full price game in order to understand what's happening before you play a game.
Yeah, and I think they had offered that in the fall. Originally, it was a PS4 exclusive, and I think it's going to all platforms now for it.
I think so, yeah.
The other thing that came out in January was the, like, of substance was the Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe, And I know that sold pretty well, considering not everybody had the Wii U originally, right? Mm-hmm. I went along and I had played it on the Wii U, so for me, it wasn't really a must-buy or anything, but I can see that being one that's going to have legs. Like, it's not going to be like Mario Odyssey, where it's going to sell millions upon millions right away. It's going to be something where I think in the future, you're going to find most of the consoles bundled with it for free.
That's an interesting position to take on that, because I figure it's going to be one of those games you'll see for sale at some point. It'll be one of those games that if it shows up in your collection, it'll be like, oh, that was released on the Wii U, whereas I think Super Mario Odyssey will likely be a more likely pack-in.
Well, I think they'll put both, because it didn't cost them that much to remaster this one, right? Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't be surprised if you get like a digital copy of both. Because that'll be great value, especially, or if they're going to give that one away because it's a cheaper game, release that how in the future they're talking they might release a discount version of the Switch. Maybe a lower tier bundle.
Another game that we briefly touched upon was Ace Combat. I think it was called Skies Unknown. That's a game that I reviewed. Really wish I could have got into it, but accessibility-wise, I just couldn't. Now, it's not to say that it's a bad game. I just, accessibility-wise, it really, really kind of sucks. Still a fantastic effort from Bandai Namco, though, all things considered, with it. Definitely made me feel like a Top Gun pilot. I thought that was kind of neat. I basically got to live out my F-14 Super Tomcat fantasies, which was utterly fantastic. Not even going to lie, I just kept looping Danger Zone as I was doing dogfights with it. So thank you, Spotify, for thinking I listened to nothing but Kenny Loggins now.
Now, like, I was going to say, like, was there anything, because we're not as much PC gamers, was there anything that, like, Tristan, did you notice any big releases in January for PC?
January was a very quiet month for PC. There wasn't really a lot of major releases. I'm just looking through a list that I have of the releases that have actually happened in the last few months, and nothing's really jumping out at me. As the PC gamer of the group, it was just going through a back catalog for the first month of the year. There really wasn't anything noteworthy.
So I guess kind of moving on in the February. February had a lot of stuff come out. And I felt like this was the month where a lot of gaming fell flat on its face. We had the discount release of Far Cry New Dawn. And I think that was budget priced. Definitely kind of almost like it was like an expansion to Far Cry 5. You get to see what happened after the bombs dropped. By the way, spoiler. We also saw the release of Metro Exodus, which is a game I really, really wanted to play. But for some reason, it was released the same day as Far Cry. So, figure that one out. We also saw... what else did we see? We saw Jump Force, which I expected to be so much better, and it was not.
It was kind of meh. It was fun. Like, it had some really good... like, it showed off a new engine, obviously, with the particle effects and everything. But it was just sort of... meh. It's fun, but it's not $80 fun.
Yeah, I mean, it had a lot of hype surrounding it. Now I know they're starting to release some of the DLC characters for it now. But ultimately, it was just kind of, what the fuck ever. We also saw the release of Apex Legends, a game that came out of friggin' nowhere.
I have to play this. I want to play it because I've been hearing really, really good things.
Yeah, there's absolutely zero hype surrounding it beforehand. It was announced and released on the exact same day, and it just exploded. And at this point, it's achieved over 50 million players, which is a lot faster than Fortnite was able to do. So it's become the new kid on the block for Battle Royale games. It is rivaling Fortnite. Some people are saying it's going to kill Fortnite. I don't think that's true. I think Fortnite has too much staying power. It has too much of a community around it for anything to kill it anytime soon. But Apex Legends is here to stay as well, and it's become a new competitor for Fortnite. So now both of these games are going to have to compete with each other to be better, and I think that's going to be good for both games.
One of the things I do like about Apex Legends is that EA was mostly hands-off with it, so Respawn, the team that's developing Apex, is keeping an eye on its community. It's constantly monitoring cheating, although there's a lot of cheats for it. If you want to go out and pay for them, you can do that, or you can find them for free. There's a lot of aim bots and other things that you can do for it, but they are cracking down on it. There was widespread bans the other day in that game, so that's really, really, really good for that community to basically keep itself accountable. The fact that the devs are talking, there's like a Reddit thread, they can talk back and forth, Discord, etc., etc. So really, really pleased to see that. The other big release that came out in February that had a lot of people talking, and not necessarily for all the right reasons, was EA and BioWare's 6-year development cycle of Anthem.
Feels more like 6 months, if you ask me.
You know what? Here's the thing. Fun gameplay, bad execution on the rest of it.
It just feels like there's something going wrong on a weekly or bi-weekly basis with this game. Every time I load up YouTube, there's a new video posted from a major influencer about what's gone wrong with Anthem now. Every time I log into Reddit, there's another post about something else that's broken. They put out a patch that screwed something up. They've made a tweak to the loot system accidentally that actually made it fun for a while, but then they had to take it back because, well, we can't have that. And there are reasons for that.
I got to go trade mine in before the 22nd because that's when the trade value goes down.
I didn't buy Anthem. I essentially rented it through EA's Origin Access and got to play it for a month for $20. And I got $20 worth of value out of it, but I definitely did not renew that subscription because there's nothing else I want to do with that right now. I'm done playing Anthem at this point.
And that's what, with me, you know, I traded to get it, so I got it for that $80 price point. Actually, I got the Anvil of Dawn or whatever? I got the $100 edition, but I traded to get it, and I had trade bonuses, so it'll end up costing me $20 after I traded in with my Onyx card. So, to me, you know, for $20 to rent it, it's almost a little high.
It's renting it for a month. It's not like it was back in the Blockbuster days where it was $7.99 for 7-day rental. This is a month worth of rental, so there's a good time.
I was done with it in 2 days. One day to beat it, like the story mode.
Yeah, it's not a very long game, but it has a gameplay loop.
Not for a 6-year life cycle. And the fact that they had, like, it was really bad at storytelling.
I think the individual stories, the small stories were pretty well done and really felt like a BioWare side story, and the little characters, all those subplots where it's interesting to see the interactions. You finish a mission, you get to see the next part of a little subplot. You finish another mission, you get to see the next part of a subplot. Those individually were all well done. The main story was not great. And overall, it was not quite BioWare's level of storytelling that we know they're capable of.
Well, and there are a lot of characters that you're introduced to that, you know, maybe in DLC will do something, but they had no purpose. Like, there was no purpose in getting your affiliations with each of the factions up. It didn't do anything to the story.
Not to the story. The factions, they end up being about crafting and getting crafting materials and being able to forge certain components and whatever parts of your gear. But
so it's Destiny.
It's largely irrelevant because you end up not needing to craft stuff because the best stuff you're getting is the stuff that's dropping, if it's eventually dropping, because the loot is so damn scarce.
Well, and not only that, like, here's the thing. It's, you know, controversial opinion. It's better than Destiny. Like, even though I didn't care for this game that much, it's still better than Destiny. So far as feeling like a more complete game, Destiny is just, it feels too sparse. I don't want to have to, like, look at a website to find out the lore.
Yeah, you know, but didn't Anthem have the exact same problem, too?
No, all the lore is told you within the game.
Is available within the game. There's a codex that you can look at a lot more information in depth. The lore is
explained. If you used to play Mass Effect, it's the same deal. Like, it's you know, you play Mass Effect, you pull it up. The only thing that was lacking, and for a game that costs this much to make and everything, I was surprised that the codex wasn't voiced. Like, when you pull up Mass Effect and it would read out to you all the little codex entries. That would have made it a lot better. Because don't make me read.
So lore-wise, I'll agree that Anthem does it better than Destiny. But as for a complete game, I'm going to say Destiny is doing a better job of being a complete game. than Anthem, and a lot of that has to do with the polish and ease of access and the quality of life behind things. One of the major gripes people have with Anthem is when you're out in free play mode and just wandering around the world, you don't really have a sense of where anything is happening. While in Destiny, there's icons, there's little notes to say, hey, there's going to be an event here in 4 minutes. You should probably gather here. That doesn't exist in Anthem, and it makes it very hard to coordinate with people that you aren't already grouped with. You don't know where to go and what to do.
The lack of quick travel, too.
See, yeah, quick travel, it's an interesting point with Anthem because you are moving so fast as it is. But
when you want to go, it's like, oh, I got to go to the one tomb. And you're like, oh, it's across screen. That's going to take me 7 minutes to fly across.
Yeah, it could probably use a couple quick spots. Like the tombs would be a good example of points to be able to quick travel to.
Because they're at the four corners, basically. And it's like, just let me, because the only quick travel points you can do is when you're launching initially. And it's like, just if I've been to a landmark, and there are landmark and monument, like codex entries, that should be a spot you can jump to once you've done. Like, once you've explored it and you've done the basic mission, you should be able to go back there. But I think they don't want to do that because then they're going to show how shallow the game is.
Yeah, if they make it a lot faster to go about your small gameplay loop, suddenly that loop gets even shorter and you realize what the actual problems are. And a lot of people already know what the actual problems are. The loot system needs to be completely overhauled for multiple reasons. One, loot is too scarce, so it doesn't feel good. Two, the quality of loot that you're able to get is too randomized. Even now, after they've patched it to make it less random, it's still likely that when you eventually get a quote-unquote good piece of gear, it'll roll its random stats poorly. You'll end up with something that has the potential to give you 3 times the amount of charges on your ability, but instead you get 1% extra damage. So it feels bad. So you grind a whole bunch of time and you put this effort into obtaining this gear and it ends up rolling poorly, so you just wasted all that time and it just feels bad. And at the same time, you're not getting a lot of crap gear to sort through. And that might sound a little counterintuitive, but it works for games like Diablo 3, where there's just loot pinatas everywhere. You kill something and it explodes with loot. You're not going to pick everything up, but it feels really cool to have a whole bunch of stuff drop whenever you're killing things. And that feeling just doesn't exist in Anthem. It just adds to the frustration of not getting anything worth picking up.
Well, that and the fact that there's like 6 enemy types for the entire game.
The whole game is just short. Like, there's not...
There's two bosses, really, or two boss types. There's, like, giant creature, and then, like, you only fight, like, one other mech suit, and it's only for one brief fight, and then that's leading up to DLC, obviously. And then the boss of the game is just basically another giant monster that's just bigger.
It's a grind just to do those bosses. The strongholds, I like the strongholds all the way up until the final bosses. The final bosses aren't very mechanic heavy, so it's not about necessarily, you know, shoot this specific thing at this time and step on this platform and go. Destiny does it well, where there's different things you need to kind of juggle while you're in the middle of the fight. Anthem, it's about, okay, deal a whole bunch of damage for the next half an hour and then occasionally dodge some attacks and then just go at it forever. You can't do it faster if you're better. It just takes forever because they just have so much health. It just makes it boring, and those boss fights are unsatisfying.
You guys have done nothing but sell me on this game. Wow.
It'll be free to play.
I'm so excited.
It's definitely been a crux of the first quarter of 2019 for gaming. It's been the focus of a lot of attention, most of it negative, and that's unfortunate. It's the game that I keep hearing the phrase, I want to love Anthem. It's the game that I want to enjoy. It breaks my heart to see Anthem do this because it's the game that everybody wanted to succeed, and it's not.
It was supposed to be an evolution of the Destiny model, the games as a service, with the storytelling of BioWare, the mechanics of people who know what they're doing. Like, this game should have been awesome. But the first E3 presentations, where, like, they show you flying around in the stupid javelin, it was just, you can wander around in an Iron Man suit and fight bugs. Okay.
And I mean, we were hoping that that was just going to be one planet or one thing or like or one aspect, but the whole planet looks exactly the same the whole way you go. You fight three or four enemy types, that's it. Like, if they're smart, EA will go, okay, we have a huge hit in Apex Legends that we weren't expecting. Their single-player games that that studio has put out before have not done as well as they hoped. Let's make them our you know, games as a service company, and let BioWare go back to being our premier award-winning single-player games.
Well, there was an article that I saw earlier this month, and I can't remember what company published it, but it was a thread that went along the lines of companies don't want single-player games anymore. And in this day and age, you'd have a hard time pitching the original Uncharted. That's a fucking tragedy.
But you see, like, that's a little clickbaity. There's going to be some companies that don't want it, but look at Sony. Most of Sony's titles that have been first party this year and that have been really, really good have
been single God of War, Spider-Man, etc.
Yes, all the ones that won awards, all the ones that they've got, like Last of Us 2 coming out. Most of their games are single player only, and they're winning tons of awards and selling millions of copies. And they were, I remember that article, I don't know who wrote it, but they were vocal against it. They said, no. They have their place. It's just, you know, if a company wanted to just be as greedy as possible, they'd try to oversaturate the market, which is what
Activision has done.
Activision, EA, Bethesda, all the companies that you see all these disasters coming from are they're trying to milk the market when really find one or two really good game franchises or create really good properties, you know, that are going to be good that way. They don't have to be from your, like, don't pick a studio that's known for making single-player games and say, you now have to make a multiplayer game. It's not what they're good at. Pick a company that's good at making multiplayer games and then make a good multiplayer game.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it comes from the push of trying to monetize every aspect of every game you possibly can. Games as a service has become such a norm now, and that makes me sad. Microtransactions of every kind, be it loot boxes or otherwise, it seems to just proliferate through every game that you're possibly playing now. And this is why a lot of these companies are trying to shy away from these single-player adventures, because once you've played it through, that's it. It's harder to monetize and add new things to those experiences than it is for something that's multiplayer, where cosmetics are something that you can show off to the other people that you're playing with. Like in Spider-Man, there's cosmetics, yes, but that's just for your own benefit. It's not something you can show off necessarily to your friends that you're playing with. So you can't add that much in microtransactions. You can't add that much in games as a service to those single-player adventures compared to things like Apex Legends, compared to things like Call of Duty, where everything is just based around these loot boxes, based around these microtransactions, just to milk a couple dollars here, a couple dollars there, or maybe $100 if you're the type of person, one of the whales that really support this type of monetization for gaming.
Well, then how about this? Why don't you raise the cost of really top-tier single-player games by $10? You know, that's a little extra mark, because they're only trying to really get a touch of $5 or $10 more. You know, make it, you know, $89 or $95 or something for, like, the Spider-Man, where you're paying for a really, really high-quality single-player game. Then lower the cost of these multiplayer games to $50, because they're expecting people to pay money for extra things for them. Don't charge the same price for a quarter of the game because and then still expect people to pay more.
I'm not sure I agree with raising the price.
Yeah.
But I could see lowering the price for games that are intended to be microtransaction
multiplayer.
Well, think about the season passes are basically just saying, hey, we're not done with the game. Right, because they're not giving you full expansions. The last time I heard of like a really full expansion that could be a standalone was maybe Dragon Age Origins had its standalone expansion that was another 30-hour game, and maybe The Witcher 3's two expansions, which are like 50 hours each, or 50 hours total, sorry. But most DLC expansions are like 5 hours of gameplay each, and you get two or three of them. Well, that's just what we used to get in the games. The games used to be 50, 60 hours, not, you know, 30 hours plus DLC, and then you end up spending $130 anyway on them. So just include the stuff in the game already. Make it one price ahead of time. Because they're basically expecting you to buy a Season's Pass now or a Gold Edition at $100 or $120. So, you know, make that the standard.
This is what happened to me recently with the Division coming out here in mid-March. I was looking into what packages were available, and the base game is $80, but I could get the Gold Edition that includes the Season Pass for $130. And that just doesn't appeal to me. I don't feel like spending $130 on one game that I'm not sure if I'm actually going to play for the entire year of content cycle that's supposed to come out.
Yeah, and I can see how it's understandable. Like, we've got review copies of it as well, and it comes with some expansion passes. And I can see, knowing I played the first game a fair bit, like over 100 hours or so, it was the reason I bought an Xbox initially. And I found, so far, we're in the middle of the review, or I'm in the middle of reviewing the content myself. And it's probably going to be worth playing in 6 months or so. Now, the Gold Edition, the Season's Pass, it's Season 1. They're expecting multiple years on this.
Kind of like how they did with like Rainbow Six Siege.
Yeah, I was going to say, Rainbow Six Siege is the exception that the style of game that it is can warrant 3 or 4 seasons, I guess. I'm not sure how this is going to work. And like, I don't know how much more you can get out of that region of the States without going to another region. So I'm not sure if the second or third year sort of thing is going to move to different cities.
I can't see them doing that now. Washington, D.C. I've actually been to. If they expand the game out into the suburbs, maybe there's some possibility there. Kind of like how with Fallout, they expand the region you can go to. Like in Fallout 4, they had Nuka World, they had Far Harbor, stuff like that. With the Division 2, yeah, if they exclude some of the suburbs of DC or add more missions and raise the level cap and everything, I could see it. Now, what you're getting in the Season's Pass right now, you get an exclusive emote, some exclusive clothes, I think some weapon skins, and you get all the missions that are coming out throughout the year. I think there's like 3 of them. I don't know whether it's worth that. Game. Yeah.
It's worth, in my mind, again, like, I'm not done my review. I'm happy with what I've seen so far.
Yeah, same here. I'm about 10 hours in, and I like it.
Yeah, I'm about that same. I would say it's the kind of thing where, well, I know in the States it's $99, so they're looking for that $100. If it was a $100 price point in Canada, it would be worth it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if at the $130, because after taxes, you're looking at $150. You'd have to be really, really into it. I know I'm going to be booting it up to play, you know, whenever we, you know, play together and stuff. I'm just not sure that it's going to have, like, I put 100 hours into the first game. I don't know if I'm going to have that staying power. And it all depends on if you get a good group that you play with. Previously, I was at work and I got it with a work group. So there were 3 or 4 of us that played pretty much every day after work for like an hour or two. So that's how I got that much time into it. So it depends. It's not a game you really want to play by yourself for hundreds of hours. If you're playing with a dedicated crew, then it can be fun.
Yeah, and that's probably how I'm going to see it. Because I have, like, in the game, you can free roam and people will always ask, like, agent looking for help, requesting backup. I can't see playing with randoms being very fun. And I know their Dark Zone is like the whole PvP.
Dark Zone's garbage. It's going to be garbage in this game, too.
Oh, God. I assure you, I will not be doing that because I know. In fact, we actually got called potatoes on Twitter about this.
Because, that was my friend.
Oh, okay. So you guys are potato gamers. Like, yeah, fuck your PC master race. I'm sorry.
That's my buddy, the wrestler.
That's kind of funny.
He was like, because I told him before years ago, I was like, when I played the first game, I was like, oh yeah, I'm pretty bad at this. It's like I'm blind or like I'm shooting a potato. So he remembered.
Because I know that's PC slang for people who are garbage gamers. So
When it comes to like shooters, it's an RPG. I'm playing it for the fun aspect. I'm not a precision player or anything. It's consuming a lot of my playtime right now for the review, and I could see it being one of those things where I'm playing something else, and then I'm like, you know what? I'm going to pop on for a half hour. That'll be that kind of game.
Well, one of the things that we're asked to, and this is a little bit behind the scenes for the review process, is we're asked to complete the game. Okay, that's no problem. But we're then asked to spend a lot of time in the end game, like 15 or 20 hours.
Yeah,
so I've never seen a review ask that of a reviewer. That's a lot of goddamn time. Thankfully, this is at the beginning of the year and not in Broktober.
Well, that and they're like, we got the game basically a day or so before some of the early access people got it.
Yeah.
And they're not like, they're not saying, hey guys, we need your review out in 2 days. They're not saying that at all. They're saying, get to the end. We know this is going to take a little bit of time and give, you know, we want to make sure you guys spend the time to fully experience the game before you review it. And you don't usually see that often from publishers. They're willing to give us time.
Yeah. A lot of it is they know that the Division 1 was a game that was two different beasts. The leveling experience was one thing, and then the end game was another. And they want to make sure that people
sucked in the last game, and that's why they're trying to push it this time.
That's exactly it. Now they're saying, okay, well, the leveling is going to be the leveling. You know, we know how to do that part. We want to showcase the end game and the improvements that we've made to that system and give us your thoughts on the full experience. Because in a game, a looter shooter like Division, you need the end game to be good in order for the game to last. And so they want to focus on that.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that it is good. I'm hoping the end game is fun because I'm having fun when I am right now. I think I'm level 7 or 8. I've got a sniper rifle and an M249 saw, so I'm having a lot of fun with that.
Yeah, I'm going back to my original getup. In the first game, I was two things. I was heavy artillery, so I had a full machine gun, you know, basically suppressing fire, mm-hmm. and I was a sniper. So I basically
same here. That's exactly how I'm doing it.
Now, when I got to end game of the first one and I played again, because I played a fair bit, I still couldn't do the final sieges. Those were way too difficult because it's like 30 waves of crazy hard enemies. We could get near the end of one, but never beat it. And it literally got me to the point where I screamed, fuck this game, and stopped playing for like 6 months. And then I went, wait a minute, I was having fun with everything else but the end game. So I went back and played a bunch of random stuff. Now, I got so good that I eventually was going and doing solo missions of the hospital or raid is the first thing you do in the game, like the first main instance level in the first game. And I was able to go in there by myself on hard with just my pistol and destroy it all and not get hurt at all. So I was that good. It's taking me a little while to get back to that. So I'm going to have to go back to the way I started, which is staying at a distance and basically being, you know, suppressing fire and then being DPS with headshots.
Another game that has come out this month, we didn't get a review copy for this one, unfortunately. Devil May Cry 5, from what I understand, it's reviewing pretty well.
Yeah, that was one where I, you know, the reps had said, hey, this is going to be really popular. We're going to have a limited amount we can give out, so if we can't get you to use, sorry. And I figured that's usually speak for, hey, there's super crazy interest in this.
Yeah, or they don't believe in it. One or the other.
So it's one of the two. So we were ourselves waiting with bated breath, like, what's it going to be like?
Yeah, I was highly, highly skeptical of this. And then I saw the reviews come out and say, wow, they actually did it good. People are happy. I mean, Dante's back. Fucking A.
The other title that we had been told, you know, initially, you know, tentatively, yes, you were getting a copy. And then I was told last minute, sorry, we're not getting you a copy. Was that Left Alive game from Square Enix.
And I hear that game is a hot garbage pile.
I was very interested because I liked the design. It was technically a front mission side story game, but made with the artist that did most of the character designs for Resident Evil. Mm-hmm. And the level designs and mech designs and everything were the people that designed the original Metal Gear Solid series. So it was amalgamation of like multiple franchises. And it looked really cool. And then it got like 10% on Metacritic. So there's a reason that they didn't give me a copy. They said, we're very sorry. If more copies come out, we'll give one to you. And I'm like, oh, this is probably bad.
Now, one game we had a chance to review, it was in our last regular Twig show, was Toe Jam and Earl Back in the Groove. This game was Kickstarted about 4 years ago. And I was utterly surprised how much fun it was. Did not expect it to be as good as it was. You can get it for the Switch, PS4, and the Xbox One. I think it's about $20-25, totally worth it, because you'll get at least that much playtime out of it. It's like 25 levels looking for pieces of a spaceship. The soundtrack is fantastic, probably one of the best I've heard in a really long time. I think the composer was Cody Wright. I also found out the guy that plays Big Earl in the game is dead. He died a couple of years ago, so I'm glad he got a chance to complete his work on Toe Jam and Earl before he passed away.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, the team, I think it's Human Nature Studios, reached out to me on Twitter, sent me a couple of stickers for my wheelchair, which I'm going to affix when the weather's a little bit nicer. And I'll have a little piece of video game history on my wheelchair, which I think is really neat. But yeah, that was a surprise game this month. Coming out this month, that probably should be taken notice. I'm just looking here. Dead or Alive 6 came out with a $90 season pass.
Yeah, that's one of those ones where I tried contacting Koei Tecmo and never got a response back, unfortunately, because it looked interesting. I mean, it's boob jiggle physics, so I wanted to see how that would look in this new generation.
We're also getting, this will be for Tristan, we're getting that...
Sekiro Shadows Die Twice.
Yes, so hopefully we're going to be checking out that later on this month. That looks pretty cool. We're also getting, let me see, MLB The Show, which is Sony's annual baseball franchise, which Alex is hopefully going to be taking a look at this year because he knows baseball more so than I do.
I've played them in the past, and it's one of the few sports, like, you'd think I would be like an NHL hockey game guy or anything. No, I was always more of a baseball fan. So, like, I'm just also looking, just because we skipped by some of February, we did get a bunch of random reviews in there. There's been a lot of ports. I did want to check out God Eater 3, but that sort of got, you know, we didn't get a copy of that, and it's sort of on the back burner to keep an eye out for. That Tetris 99 was that free game that came out, which is...
Oh, yeah, Tetris Battle Royale.
Yeah, exactly.
Weird idea, cool execution.
You forgot to mention your favorite game, Crackdown 3.
Where do I fucking start with this?
Well, here's the thing. I got my Xbox One X, right?
Yeah.
And I got the Game Pass thing for 3 months for like $15. That was the deal. Mm-hmm. And I went, oh, okay, Crackdown 3. I went to download it and I went, why? Why am I doing this? Why do I want to hurt myself?
It's fucking bad. I mean, okay, it's not that it's so terrible, don't play the thing. The thing is, it's boring. And for a game where you should be Grand Theft Auto with superpowers, with the humor of Saints Row, this should be a winning combination. This should be your favorite sandwich coated with, like, amazing sauce. Instead, it's a wet, sloppy sandwich from a gas station. It's fucking horrible. It's terrible. I didn't like it. You made me hate Terry Crews temporarily. What the fuck is wrong with the world?
Well, and there you go. The rest of the month was mostly ports, as well as a few interesting visual novel games that I've had. That's been the thing I've been consistently sent lately, and I'm okay with it because they're fun to kill the time with, but they're nothing super spectacular. I don't know. Did we end up getting the Lego Movie 2?
No, we actually didn't, which actually I was very surprised we didn't even get offered it because the Lego Movie 2... It did okay in theaters, but it didn't blow a lot of people away like the first movie. So the video game marketing was surprisingly chill.
And we got like Trials Rising. That's pretty fun, but it's Trials. I mean, there's not really any point.
It's physics.
If you like it, you like it. That's the kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then back into this month, yeah, I again, pulling the curtain back a bit, my Nintendo 2DS XL has been broken for months, and Nintendo was going to fix it for me, and it's finally coming back. And I've been told, you know, knock on wood, that when it comes back, all I have to do is contact them, and there's a code for Kirby's Extra Epic Yarn for me to review. They're holding on to one for me. So it's just, I was hoping to see that system back this week because I was told on Monday it was being shipped back because it comes from like LA or something. But it hasn't. So if I don't hear anything, you know, Monday, Tuesday, I'll be like, hello, I'd like my game system and code, please. And then I've got a few games in here, like Caligula Effect Overdose, which is being released. I'm going to be talking about it on a Turtle Treasure this week. Again, I'm not sure which day that's going to be released, but soon. Then I'm looking, we're sort of mid-month already. Division 2 came out. I love that they have Super Robot Wars T on there, but that's only in English if you get the Southeast Asian version, which is actually becoming a pretty big market. Like, whenever a game has copyright license issues in North America, like, let's say, like, an anime, or, like, Robot Wars, right? It's all these different animes, which are all owned by usually Bandai over there. But over here, they might have been licensed by Funimation, four Kids TV, all these different things. So they can't release them under one game because so many people own the rights to all the different likenesses. So what they do is Southeast Asia, like in the Philippines and that, one of their main languages is English. So they release an English subtitled version of these games over there, and then they make them region free. So you just have to pay like $100 to import it. So that's one that I know my roommate's been looking to get into. They're basically like strategy RPGs. I wouldn't know who to contact to review it, but I'd love to get a review copy. Unravel 2 is coming out. But that was already out. I guess it's a Switch version.
Yeah, so... And then at the end of the month, we have Kirby's Epic Crafted World or something.
Oh, Yoshi's Crafted World. Now
that's
I don't think we're getting a review copy, but I'm already buying a copy. So that expect my thoughts on that for sure. I played the demo, which was super fun. It's like super slow. Like you don't have to go. Like, it's a slow platformer. Like you're not frantically playing. Like what? You know what? I'm just probably going to take a weed pill or two and just chill.
Because it's legal up here.
Exactly. Don't you love saying that? Which makes me very sad because I bought a 30 pill container and it seems to have disappeared. I've torn through the entire apartment. I'm like, where'd my weed go? Should I call the cops and report that my weed's been stolen? Because they actually have to take that into consideration now. Used to be you did that and they'd go, okay, we're going to be right over. And then you'd go in the back of their car and go away. Now it's like, what? Sure, somebody stole your weed? No, I have no idea where it is. But all joking aside, that looks pretty fun. And they're releasing Assassin's Creed 3 on, like, remastered on the PS4 and Xbox.
Yeah, which you got as part of the season's pass if you bought Assassin's Creed Odyssey last year, which is still a fantastic game for its value. Do not overlook Assassin's Creed Odyssey. So I guess, how would we rank this year's game so far? I'm going to give it...
quarter? It's...
Yeah, I'd give it a C+.
It's a 6 out of 10, maybe.
Yeah.
And that there's been some highlights. If it had not been for Kingdom Hearts and...
Resident Evil
and things like Tales of Vesperia, but a lot of them are ports. So... Mm-hmm. Truly, like, for original new games, if it had not been for those, it would be a pretty bad year so far.
Tristan, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm going to agree pretty much with the 6 out of 10. I'm going to say 3 out of 5. Somewhere right in the middle. There's been some good stuff. There's been some bad stuff. Anthem has been a real sour note on everything. But you've got some gems like Resident Evil 2. You've got... Even The Division now seems to be doing well. So we're coming into March now. There looks like there's going to be a couple good titles. Sekiro's lining up to be a good title. We don't know for sure, but it's From Software, so I have a lot of confidence in what they're doing. So quarter three looks like it's going to end on a high note, but there's definitely been some sour notes in the middle of the quarter. So a bit of both, a bit up, a bit down. So 5 out of 10.
All right. So as always, be looking for our thoughts as we continue our reviews on Twig, which you can find typically on Mondays here on the website, thisweekingeek.net. Alex's Turner Treasure always has video game reviews from himself and Tristan, and occasionally me, depending on my review schedule. So we will be back in April at some point for another edition of The Prototype. What we're going to talk about, I'm not entirely sure yet, because Mortal Kombat comes out that month, the Power Rangers fighting game comes out, Battle for the Grid. Maybe we'll talk about fighting games, our experiences with them, some of our favorites, some of our not so favorites. In fact, fuck it, I'm calling it now. We're talking fighting games in April at some point. After Mortal Kombat 11 comes out, we will talk about it. So,
and maybe in the next Direct, the Nintendo Direct might come out then. We might hear from the new president of Nintendo of America.
Ah, yes, we'll hear from Bowser.
Bowser!
Destined for that role.
I will shit a brick if he comes wearing like a Bowser onesie. That would be amazing.
That would be actually kind of funny. I sincerely hope so. So anyway, for The Prototype, we have been
Mr. Christopher
and Alex.
I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd saying live for your Die Hard. We'll catch you guys again next time right here on ThisWeekInGeek.net. Boom, 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 boom
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations. Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn. Ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn. Tell people to stay off the lawn. Compare it to your neighbor's lawn. And complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance. Which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.